the Srimad Bhagavatam. This would be the 10th canto. I have chapters 1, 2, and 3 we could read from. And I'm gonna pick out a few purports that are very nice and maybe make a few comments on a few of these. So we'll see if you can get a display here or not. Otherwise, I'll just read. Or you can pick that up, so. Anyway, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, okay, he'll put it on there. It's going to be from the 10th canto. So I'm just going to do pretty much just the translations. So let me go here. Sorry, technical difficulties, but we had a presentation for you, but since it's not working. So I'll just dive right into it. And this is the first chapter in the 10th canto, and I'm reading from the 10th canto because Prabhupada gives some really amazing purports, very nice. And just like Nikatma was saying the other day when he did his reading from the 10th canto. So I'll read the translations and a few purports. And we'll try to get to the third chapter if possible. If not, we can just get as far as we can. So this is text one. King Parikshit said, "My dear Lord, you have elaborately described the dynasties of both the moon god and the sun god with the exalted and wonderful character of their kings." And in the purport here, Srila Prabhupada says, "The supreme abode of the personality of Godhead, Krishna, is described in Brahma Samhita as the abode of Chintamani. Chintamani prakara sadmasu kalpavriksha laksavritesu surabhirabhi balayantam. Brahma Samhita 5.29. The Vrindavan Dham on this earth is a replica of that same abode, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 8.20. In the spiritual sky, there is another eternal nature, transcendental to manifested and unmanifested matter. The manifested world can be seen in the form of many stars and planets, such as the sun and the moon. But beyond this is the unmanifested, which is imperceptible to those who are embodied. And beyond this unmanifested matter is the spiritual kingdom, which is described in the Bhagavad Gita as supreme and eternal. That kingdom is never annihilated. Although material nature is subject to repeated creation and annihilation, that supreme nature remains as it is eternally. In the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that spiritual nature of the spiritual world is described as Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, or Vrajadham. The elaborate description of the above-mentioned sloka from the 9th canto, Jagato Gata Pritir Grihad, will be found here in the 10th canto. So in the 9th canto, they just finished describing a summary of Krishna's pastimes. So Maharaj Parikshit is very much interested in finding out more details. So here he's inquiring. Text 2. O best of the Munis, you have also described the descendants of Yadu, who were very pious and strictly adherent to religious principles. Now, if you will kindly describe the wonderful, glorious activities of Lord Vishnu, or Krishna, who appeared in that Yadu dynasty with Baladev, his plenary expansion. The Super Soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, the cause of the cosmic manifestation, appeared in the dynasty of Yadu. Please tell me elaborately about his glorious activities and character from the beginning to the end of his life. And Prabhupada says in the purport there, in this verse, the words Kritavan Yani indicate that all the different activities Krishna performed while present on earth are beneficial to human society. If religionists, philosophers, and people in general simply hear the activities of Krishna, they will be liberated. We have described several times that there are two kinds of Krishna Katha, represented by Bhagavad Gita, spoken personally by Krishna about himself, and Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken by Sukadeva Goswami about the glories of Krishna. Anyone who becomes even slightly interested in Krishna Katha is liberated. Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Parambhajat. That's a verse from the 12th canto. Simply by chanting or repeating Krishna Katha, one is liberated from the contamination of Kali Yuga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore advised, Yari Deke Tar Kaha Krishna Upadesh, from the Madhya Lila. This is the mission of the Krishna consciousness, to hear about Krishna and thus be liberated from material bondage. So more and more we're beginning to see how there's a different manifestation, there's a spiritual world, and that this manifestation is not the all in all. And we see it as that by constantly dwelling on our problems and on the things that we want to do. But actually we're finding that it's not really about us. It's about Krishna. And if we focus on Krishna, then all our problems will be solved. So we'll go on. Text 4. Glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is performed in the parampara system. That is, it is conveyed from spiritual master to disciple. Such glorification is realized by those no longer interested in false temporary glorification of this cosmic manifestation. Descriptions of the Lord are the right medicine for the conditioned soul, undergoing repeated birth and death. Therefore, who will cease hearing such glorification of the Lord, except a butcher or one who is killing his own self? That's text 4, chapter 1 of the 10th canto. So this is a nice purport here for this particular verse. I'm just getting parts of the purport. I'm not reading the whole purports. A lot of these purports are very long. So Krishna consciousness is so exalted that one who is perfectly situated in Krishna consciousness under the direction of the spiritual master is fully satisfied by reading Krishna Katha as found in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and similar Vedic literatures. Since merely talking about Krishna is so pleasing, we can simply imagine how pleasing it is to render service to Krishna. And then Prabhupada goes in another part of the purport. When discourses on Krishna Katha take place between a liberated spiritual master and his disciple, others also sometimes take advantage of hearing these topics and also benefit. These topics are the medicine to stop the repetition of birth and death. The cycle of repeated birth and death, by which one takes on different bodies again and again, is called bhava or bhava roga, the disease of birth and death, will certainly stop. Therefore, Krishna Katha is called bhavaushada, the remedy to stop the repetition of birth and death. Karmis are persons attached to material sense enjoyment generally cannot give up their material desires, but Krishna Katha is such a potent medicine that if one is induced to hear Krishna Katha, he will certainly be freed from this disease. A practical example is Dhruva Maharaj, who at the end of his tapasya was fully satisfied. When the Lord wanted to give Dhruva a benediction, Dhruva refused it. Swamin kritartosmi varamna yache. That's from the Madhya Lila. My dear Lord, he said, I am fully satisfied. I do not ask for any benediction for material sense gratification. We actually see that even young boys and girls in the Krishna consciousness movement have given up their long practice of bad habits like illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling, because Krishna consciousness is so potent that it gives them full satisfaction. They are no longer interested in material sense gratification. I was just reading one of the memories section, and one of the Prabhupada was asking the devotees, so what is the most dangerous or the worst one of these four habits? Does anybody know? The worst one of the four habits of illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. This is, excuse me? Yeah, I'm asking a question about what Prabhupada asked. It's related to these, I'm sorry. So there's sleeping, there's eating, mating, and defending. So what is the most important? Why? Anybody else have any ideas? Oh, you heard that already. Yeah. Because he said when you sleep too much, then you're wasting your time when you could be reading about Krishna. And also when you sleep too much, then you have a tendency to do the other things, eat, mate, and defend. So he said that's the most dangerous, is sleeping too much, or sleeping of those four propensities. So now we're in texts 5-7. Taking the boat of Krishna's lotus feet, my grandfather Arjuna and others crossed the ocean of the battlefield of Kurukshetra, in which such commanders as Bhishma Dev resembled great fish that could verily easily have swallowed them. But by the mercy of Lord Krishna, my grandfathers crossed this ocean, which was very difficult to cross, as easily as one steps over the hoof print of a calf. Because my mother surrendered unto Lord Krishna's lotus feet, the Lord, Sudarshan Chakra in hand, entered her womb and saved my body, the body of the last remaining descendants of the Krus and the Pandavas, which was almost destroyed by the fiery weapon of Aspatama. Lord Sri Krishna, appearing within and outside of all materially embodied living beings by his own potency in the forms of eternal time, that is, as Paramatma and as Virat Rupa, gave liberation to everyone, either as cruel death or as life. Kindly enlighten me by describing his transcendental characteristics. Text 8. My dear Sukadeva Goswami, you have already explained that Sankarshan, who belongs to the second quadruple, appeared as the son of Rohini, named Balaram. If Balaram was not transferred from one body to another, how is it possible that he was first in the womb of Devaki and then in the womb of Rohini? Kindly explain this to me. Why did Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, leave the house of his father, Vasudeva, and transfer himself to the house of Nanda in Vrindavan? Where did the Lord, the master of the Yadu dynasty, live with his relatives in Vrindavan? Lord Krishna lived both in Vrindavan and in Mathura. But what did he do there? Why did he kill Kamsa, his mother's brother? Such killing is not at all sanctioned in the Shastras. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has no material body, yet he appears as a human being. For how many years did he live with the descendants of Rishni? How many wives did he marry? And for how many years did he live in Dwarka? O great sage, you know everything about Krishna. Please describe in detail all the activities of which I have inquired and of those which I have not, for I have full faith and am very eager to hear them. Because of my vow on the verge of death, I have given up even drinking water. Yet because I am drinking the nectar of the topics about Krishna, which is flowing from the lotus mouth of your lordship, my hunger and thirst, which are extremely difficult to bear, cannot hinder me. Prabhupada says in one part of the purport there that the entire world is suffering because of spiritual thirst. Every living being is Brahman, or spirit soul, and needs spiritual food to satisfy his hunger and thirst. Unfortunately, however, the world is completely unaware of the nectar of Krishna Katha. This Krishna consciousness movement is therefore a boon to philosophers, religionists, and people in general. There is certainly a charming attraction in Krishna and Krishna Katha. Therefore, the absolute truth is called Krishna, the most attractive. So we're already in text 14. Sukadeva Goswami said, O son of Bringu, Shonaka Rishi, after Sukadeva Goswami, the most respectable devotee, the son of Vyasadeva, heard the pious questions of Maharaj Parikshit He thanked the king with great respect. Then he began to discourse on topics concerning Krishna, which are the remedy for all suffering in this age of Kali. Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, O your majesty, best of all saintly kings, because you are greatly attracted to the topics of Vasudeva, it is certain that your intelligence is firmly fixed in spiritual understanding, which is the only true goal for humanity. Because that attraction is unceasing, it is certainly sublime. So Prabhupada writes in the purport to that verse, Krishna Katha is compulsory for the Rajarsi, or executive head of government. This is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Imam Rajarsho Vidu 4.2. Unfortunately, however, in this age, the governmental power is gradually being captured by third-class and fourth-class men who have no spiritual understanding, and society is therefore very quickly becoming degraded. Krishna Katha must be understood by the executive heads of government, for otherwise, how will people be happy and gain relief from the pangs of materialistic life? Text 16. The Ganges emanated from the toe of Lord Vishnu purifies the three worlds, the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. Similarly, when one asks questions about the pastimes and characteristics of Lord Vasudeva, Krishna, three varieties of men are purified: the speaker or preacher, he who inquires, and the people in general who listen. Once Mother Earth was overburdened by hundreds of thousands of military phalanxes of various conceited demons dressed like kings. He approached the Lord Brahma for relief. So Prabhupada mentions again in the purport about leaders. He says, a leader should train people as brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, and sudras, and engage them in various occupational duties, thus helping them progress toward Krishna consciousness. Instead, however, rogues and thieves, in the guise of protectors, arrange for a voting system. And in the name of democracy, they come to power by hook or crook and exploit the citizens. Hey, election is coming up right now. Even long, long ago, asuras, persons devoid of God consciousness, become the heads of state. And now this is happening again. The various states of the world are preoccupied with arranging for military strength. Sometimes they spend 65% of the government's revenue for this purpose. 65%. But why should people's hard-earned money be spent in this way? Because of the present world situation, Krishna has descended in the form of the Krishna consciousness movement. So Krishna appeared in so many different ways. So he's coming in the form of ISKCON. This is quite natural, for without the Krishna consciousness movement, the world cannot be peaceful and happy. Just see how important this movement is. So this is ISKCON. This is our power of ISKCON here. There's a very important verse, Prabhupada quotes from the Bhagavad Gita, that yada, yada hi dharma shah verse. And he quotes, I got this interesting quote, I think it's from it's a lecture on the Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada says here, when God comes or his representative comes, his servant comes or his son comes, there is necessity because it is God's kingdom. As soon as there is too much violation of God's laws, there will be appearance of God. So in the present age, this Harinam Krishna has descended in the present moment in the incarnation of his holy name, Kali Kale Nama Rupa. In other ages, God comes to kill the demons. But if God takes the killing process, of course, at last, when Kalki incarnation will come, that is, of course, long, long after. But at the present moment, God is compassionate. Taking consideration of the people's most fallen condition, there is no process of killing, but reclaiming them simply by this chanting process. So we should be very happy. So Prabhupada says, we should take it seriously, this movement, Krishna consciousness movement, is also incarnation of God in the simple form, holy name, and people may take advantage simply by chanting. That's from a lecture Prabhupada gave in L.A. And there's another lecture he gave in Los Angeles. This was in 1969. And I just have two small paragraphs here. So Prabhupada says, so here it is. Whenever and wherever there is decline in religious practice, what is that religious practice? That religious practice is whenever there is decline of love of God, that's all. When people become lover of mammon, matter, that means decline of religion. So isn't that amazing? We're focusing on, all our attention is going on mammon. We're trying to find, you know, solution to our problems. But actually, it's not about us. If we just become focused on Krishna, then everything is taken care of. So, and when people increase love of Godhead, that means religion. So we need to focus on Krishna. So Krishna comes, or Krishna's servant or representative comes, to adjust things. When people forget love of God, somebody, either Krishna, God himself, or his representative, comes to adjust things. And Prabhupada goes on. So this Krishna consciousness movement is incarnation. They are teaching love of God. We are not teaching some ritualistic process that you become Hindu, you become Christian, you become Mohammedan. We are simply teaching you try to love God. You have forgotten God. You have declared God is dead. These are all nonsense. God is there. You are here. You are suffering because you have forgotten God. You try to love God. Your normal life will come back. You will be happy. This is Krishna consciousness movement. Isn't that nice? So text 18. Mother Earth assumed the form of a cow, very much distressed with tears in her eyes. She appeared before Lord Brahma and told him about her misfortune. Thereafter, having heard of the distress of Mother Earth, Lord Brahma with Mother Earth, Lord Shiva, and all the other demigods approached the shore of the ocean of milk. So, many of you have seen this picture. All the demigods approaching Lord Vishnu. Because the demons are overburdening. Text 20. After reaching the shore of the ocean of milk, the demigods worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the master of the whole universe, the supreme God of all gods, who provides for everyone and diminishes everyone's suffering. With great attention, they worship Lord Vishnu, who lies on the ocean of milk, by reciting the Vedic mantras known as the Purusha Shukta. While in trance, Lord Brahma heard the words of Lord Vishnu vibrating in the sky. Thus he told the demigods, O demigods, hear from me the order of Sirodaksai Vishnu, the Supreme Person, and execute it attentively without delay. Lord Brahma informed the demigods, before we submitted our petition to the Lord, he was already aware of the distress on earth. Consequently, for as long as the Lord moves on earth to diminish its burden by his own potency in the form of time, all you demigods should appear through the plenary portions as sons and grandsons in the family of the Yadus. So Prabhupada writes in the purport there, the word Pumsa refers to Krishna, who was already aware of how the whole world was suffering because of the increase of demons. Without reference to the supreme power of the Personality of Godhead, demons assert themselves to be independent kings and presidents, and thus they create a disturbance by increasing their military power. When such disturbances are very prominent, Krishna appears. At present also, various demoniac states all over the world are increasing their military power in many ways, and the whole situation has become distressful. Therefore, Krishna has appeared by his name in the Hare Krishna movement, which will certainly diminish the burden of the world. Philosophers, religionists, and people in general must take to this movement very seriously, for man-made plans and devices will not help bring peace on earth. The transcendental sound, Hare Krishna, is not different from the person Krishna. So see, it's not about us. It's not about our plans. It's all about Krishna and becoming aware of Krishna. So Krishna has appeared in the form of his holy name. As you can see, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with the Panchatattva to bring us that transcendental sound vibration. So we're on text 23. The Supreme Personality of God as Sri Krishna, who has full potency, will personally appear as a son of Vasudeva. Therefore, all the wives of the demigods should also appear in order to satisfy him. The foremost manifestation of Krishna is Sankarshan, who is known as Ananta. He is the origin of all incarnations within this mature world. Previous to the appearance of Lord Krishna, this original Sankarshan will appear as Baladev, just to please the Supreme Lord Krishna in his transcendental pastimes. The potency of the Lord, known as Vishnu Maya, who is as good as the Supreme Personality Godhead, will also appear with Lord Krishna. This potency, acting in different capacities, captivates all the worlds, both material and spiritual. At the request of her master, she will appear with her different potencies in order to execute the work of the Lord. Sukadeva Goswami continued, after thus advising the demigods and pacifying Mother Earth, the very powerful Lord Brahma, who is the master of all other Prajapatis, is therefore known as Prajapati Pati, returned to his own abode, Brahmaloka. Text 27. Formerly Surasena, the chief of the Yadu dynasty, had gone to live in the city of Mathura. There he enjoyed the places known as Mathura and Surasena. So there's also another nice purport by Srila Prabhupada. Simply by living in these places, one can immediately come in contact with the Lord. There are many devotees who vow never to leave Vrindavan and Mathura. This is undoubtedly a good vow. But if one leaves Vrindavan, Mathura Navadvip Dham, for the service of the Lord, he is not disconnected from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At any rate, we must understand the transcendent importance of Mathura, Vrindavan, and Navadvip Dham. Anyone who executes devotional service in these places certainly goes back home, back to Godhead, after giving up his body. Thus, the words Mathura Bhagavan Yatra Nityam Sanito Hari are particularly important. A devotee should fully utilize this instruction to the best of his ability. Whenever the Supreme Lord personally appears, he appears in Mathura because of his intimate connection with this place. Therefore, although Mathura and Vrindavan are situated on this planet Earth, they are transcendental abodes of the Lord. So you can see we have a holy place here. This is the holy Dham, New Dwarka Dham. And Srila Prabhupada has come here and established the devotional service of Krishna. There's some nice remembrances of Srila Prabhupada, how he describes this service to Krishna in the holy places, in the temples. And he was telling them how the highest service that a human being can perform is to what? The highest service a human being can perform is to be a what? That's right. A pujari. Did you think it was a book distributor? Anyway, it's all transcendental. But he says the pujari serves the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even though it says here, so he says, the highest service that a human being can perform is to be a pujari, because although the pujari has a material body, the pujari serves the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The pujari wakes up the Lord, bathes, dresses, and feeds him. These are activities of the spiritual world, but the pujari does them in this world. This is the perfection of human life. There is nothing higher than being a pujari. Sorry. So that's from Remembrances of Srila Prabhupada. And there's another remembrance about, I think it's Prajapati saying, once Prabhupada told us how he asked Srila Prabhupada, how do you stay Krishna conscious? He asked Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada told him, in my room I have a mridanga, so I play it for a while. When I get tired of that, I do some translation. When I finish with that, I sing a song on the harmonium. Then I have correspondence to do. I have one activity after another, all connected to Krishna. Just see how practical, simple that is. And there's another quote here from a lecture Srila Prabhupada gave in Los Angeles. He said, the Sankhya Yoga was first practiced by Kapiladeva. He's an incarnation of God, Krishna. So this is the secret of yoga. That this, I mean to say, process of sitting and seeing the tip of your nose and sitting straight, all these means will help you to concentrate your mind on the Vishnu form or Krishna. One should meditate upon me. This meditation means meditation on Krishna. So here in this Krishna consciousness movement, it is directly simply on Krishna. See, it's not about you, it's about Krishna. There is nothing. Therefore, nobody is better meditator than these boys and girls, I guess. There is simply concentration on Krishna. Their whole business is Krishna. They're working in the garden, digging the earth. Oh, there will be nice rose we shall offer to Krishna. Meditation. Practical meditation. I shall grow rose and it will be offered to Krishna. Even in the digging, there is meditation. You see? They are preparing nice foodstuff. Oh, it will be eaten by Krishna. So in cooking, there is meditation. You see? You see? And what to speak of chanting and dancing? So they are meditating 24 hours in Krishna. Perfect yogi. Let anyone come and challenge. These boys are perfect yogis. That's from a class he gave on the Bhagavad Gita in Los Angeles. So go to text 28. Since that time, the city of Mathura had been the capital of all the kings of the Yadu dynasty. The city and district of Mathura are very intimately connected with Krishna, for Lord Krishna lives there eternally. Some time ago, Vasudeva, who belonged to the demigod family, or the Sur dynasty, married Devaki. After the marriage, he mounted his chariot to return home with his newly married wife. Kamsa, the son of King Ugrasena, in order to please his sister Devaki on the occasion of her marriage, took charge of the reins of the horses and became the chariot driver. He was surrounded by hundreds of golden chariots. Devaki's father, King Devaka, who was very much affectionate to his daughter, therefore, while she and her husband were leaving home, he gave her a dowry of 400 elephants, nicely decorated with golden garlands. He also gave them 10,000 horses, 1,800 chariots, and 200 very beautiful young maidservants, fully decorated with ornaments. O beloved son, Maharaj Parikshit, when the bride and the bridegroom were ready to start, conch shells, bugles, drums, and kettle drums all vibrated in concert for their auspicious departure. While Kamsa, controlling the reins of the horse, was driving the chariot, along the way an unembodied voice addressed him, "You foolish rascal, the eighth child of the woman you are carrying will kill you." Kamsa was condemned personally in the Bhoja dynasty because he was envious and sinful. Therefore, upon hearing this omen from the sky, he caught hold of his sister's hair with his left hand and took up his sword with his right hand to sever her head from her body. Jeez, what a demon. Wanting to pacify Kamsa, who was so cruel and envious that he was shamelessly ready to kill his sister, the great soul Vasudeva, who was to be the father of Krishna, spoke to him in the following words. Vasudeva said, "My dear brother-in-law Kamsa, you are the pride of your family, the Bhoja dynasty, and great heroes praise your qualities. How could such a qualified person as you kill a woman, your own sister, especially on the occasion of her marriage?" So he pacifies her in so many different ways, and very nicely, trying to appease him with some sense and some intelligence. And we can see here, here's the image. Very amazing depiction of that pastime. So we'll go on. I'll just skip some of that here. So the last thing he says here, Vasudeva said, best of the sober, you have nothing to fear from your sister Devaki because of what you have heard from the unseen omen. The cause of death will be your sons. Therefore, I promise that when she gives birth to the sons from within your fear, from whom you fear has arisen, I shall deliver them all unto your hands. So see, he was so... And he believed him because he knew that Vasudeva was a very saintly person. And probably, there's a verse here that says, what is painful for saintly persons who strictly adhere to the truth? How could there not be independence for pure devotees who know the Supreme Lord as the substance? What deeds are forbidden for persons of the lowest character? And what cannot be given up for the sake of Lord Krishna for those who have fully surrendered unto his lotus feet? So let's see what we got here. So maybe we could read a little bit of chapter 2 if you like. This is when actually Krishna appears within the womb of Devaki. So we'll read a little bit of that. Let's see, what time is it? It's 15 after. Okay, so we just continue. And if anyone needs to go somewhere, they can. But let's see here. There's a nice purport I'd like to read. And text number 20. So because the Supreme Personality of Godhead was within her womb, Devaki illuminated the entire atmosphere in the place where she was confined. Seeing her jubilant, pure, and smiling, Kamsa thought, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, who is now within her, will kill me. Devaki has never before looked so brilliant and jubilant. And Prabhupada quotes the Bhagavad Gita again, yada yada hi dharma sha. And then I'll read there's a nice section in the purport there. Prabhupada quotes that verse. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. In this age, at the present moment, there are inordinate discrepancies in the discharge of human duties. Human life is meant for God realization. Again and again we're realizing, what is your life for? It's not about you. It's about God. It's about Krishna. But unfortunately, the materialistic civilization is stressing only the senses of the body, not understanding the living force within the body. As clearly stated in Bhagavad Gita, Dehino Smin Yata Dehe, within the body is the body's proprietor, the living force, which is more important. But human society has become so fallen that instead of understanding the living force within the body, people have become busy with external things. This is the discrepancy in human duties. Therefore, Krishna has taken birth or taken shelter in the womb of the Krishna consciousness movement. Men of Kamsa's class, therefore, are very much afraid and are busy trying to stop this movement, especially in the Western countries. One politician has remarked that the Krishna consciousness movement is spreading like an epidemic, and that if not checked immediately within 10 years, it may capture governmental power. There is, of course, such potency in the Krishna consciousness movement, as stated by authorities, Kali Kale Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar. In this age, Krishna has appeared in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The Krishna consciousness movement is spreading like wildfire all over the world, and it will go on doing so. Men who are like Kamsa are very much afraid of the movement's progress and acceptance by the younger generation. But as Krishna could not be killed by Kamsa, this movement cannot be checked by men of Kamsa's class. The movement will go on increasing more and more, provided the leaders of the movement remain firmly Krishna conscious by following the regulated principles and the primary activities of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Actually, there's a place where Prabhupada said, this Hare Krishna movement is just like Lord Raha. I mean, he appeared from Lord Brahma's nostril. But then within a moment, he was like half the size of the universe. And so this is the Krishna consciousness movement, how it expand. So that's what Prabhupada compared our movement to and how it will expand. So let's see if we want to read some other nectar I have here for you. Here's something, text number 32 or 31. O Lord, who resembles the shining sun? You are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee, and therefore you are known as a desire tree, Vanchakalpa Taru. When acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet in order to cross the fierce ocean of nescience, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. And because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. And in the next verse, 32, someone may say that aside from devotees who always seek the shelter at your lotus feet, there are those who are not devotees, but have accepted different processes for attaining salvation. What happens to them? In answer to this question, Lord Brahma and the other demigods said, O lotus-eyed Lord, although non-devotees who accept severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position may think themselves liberated, their intelligence is impure. They fall down from their position of imagined superiority because they have no regard for your lotus feet. So a nice picture of the devotees serving Krishna, offering food, doing so many different activities like that. These are the prayers given by the personified Vedas. And there's another nice verse here. Even while engaged in various activities, devotees whose minds are completely absorbed at your lotus feet and who constantly hear, chant, and contemplate the cause and cause others to remember your transcendental names and forms are always on the transcendental platform, and thus they can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there's another nice lecture Prabhupada gave in Los Angeles on the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is from the first canto. It's a very nice quote. And there's a couple paragraphs. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that I'm equal to everyone. Nobody is my enemy and nobody is my friend. Ye tu bhajanti mam pritya. But those who are devotees engaged 24 hours, I give them special protection. So the demons will be there, and they will always give trouble to the demigods or the devotees. But you don't stop your function, devotional service. Don't be afraid of the demons. Indrari vyukulam lokam ridayanti. This ridayanti means giving protection. Yes, give protection. So Prabhupada goes on. So this Sankirtan movement, Hare Krishna movement, is also incarnation of Krishna, Nama Rupa Avatar. Krishna can become incarnation in sound form also, not even in physical form. Physical form also there, everything is there, but especially in this age, Krishna is incarnated in his name. The name of Krishna is not different from Krishna, so Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar. So Krishna is already there. The whole world is now demoniac, anti-govern, anti-God, anti-matter, or anti-God now. So the incarnation has already come. Those who take shelter of this incarnation of Krishna's name will never be annihilated. Take it for granted, yes. So incarnation, Krishna's name and Krishna, no difference. That is omnipotency. Omnipotency means everything is Krishna's energy. So that was in 1972, Srila Prabhupada gave that. So because there's a heavy burden, this is why Krishna is appearing. And he's going to be marked with his lotus, conch shell, club, and disc. And here's where another nice quote from, this is from the biographies of Srila Prabhupada. Our disease, Maya, exists not in the world around us, but as Prabhupada writes in the prayers of Lord Brahma in the Krishna book, the existence of Maya is only within the mind. Maya is nothing but ignorance of Krishna's personality. When one forgets his personality, then that is the conditioned state of Maya. Therefore, one who is fixed upon him both internally and externally is not illusioned. Our vision is incorrect. When we are Krishna conscious, we see everything as Krishna's energy. So this is nice how just completely being absorbed in ourselves and forgetting Krishna, that is Maya. It's within the mind, ourselves. And that's where Prabhupada says, actually, how ISKCON is like the appearance of Raha incarnation, who sprung from Brahma's nostril in a small size and suddenly grew half the size of the universe. Brahman means bigger than the biggest and still becoming bigger. In every one of our centers, there must be an Artik and Sankirtan going on, or else Krishna consciousness becomes slack. We have to keep alive, thus daytime sleep should be avoided. We can take a little rest, but otherwise, if tired, chant Hare Krishna. Our centers are there to invite people to keep alive. So that was very nice. So let's see if I have something else here. But it's already 8:30. We can stop there if you like. And if anybody has any comments or questions I'd like to share. Yes? Yeah, he wanted to know the personality that appeared from Lord Brahma's nose, and it's Lord Varahadev. He came in the form of a boar who saved the earth. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah. I think it was Narada Muni, wasn't it? Narada Muni likes to cause Krishna to come faster, so sometimes he agitates things faster. You know, so he said that to Kamsa to, you know, get him upset and to kind of bring Krishna faster. Isn't that right? Anybody else going to confirm that? Okay, yes, the omen was Narada Muni. The sound, yeah. Yes, Prabhu. Thank you. Yeah, most of it. Yeah. Yeah. That's why you hear Prabhupada say sometimes other services are the most important. He says it about a lot of things. He's encouraging the devotees. But he's showing how what's happening in the spiritual world, we're doing it here. Whether it's pujari service, cleaning the temple, preaching, bringing devotees to Krishna. You know, Sankirtan, it sounds like the gopis, you know, bringing devotees to Krishna. Yes, Prabhu?
Once some
of the Gaudiya
Mahāmudas were criticized by them.
Really?
And let them ring the bells at the temple. He's so lucky to take birth, you know, got multiple times doing that, so they can get the opportunity.
Yes, that was a nice a comment about how the Gaudiya Math devotees were criticizing ISKCON devotees, and Prabhupada said how, yes, let them go on doing their ringing the bells in the temple, and then after doing that for so many lifetimes, because they were criticizing how, I think that, you know, that after many lifetimes we may be born in India. But then Prabhupada was saying how that after, let them do their artiks and whatever, and then they'll be born in ISKCON, and then they could do some, become real preachers. Jai. Thank you. That's great. Yes? Yes. So I think I understand your question. She's asking for advice as to regarding our association with people that are not Krishna conscious, and how, what should our attitude or reaction be towards them, or what should we do. Yes, that's very important. Actually, Krishna consciousness and Krishna katha and Krishna activities, Krishna, anything about Krishna is meant for anybody from the Paramahamsas to the most degraded people. So somehow or another, if we could just be an example of a devotee, like you're mentioning, have good qualities, be kind and respectful and like that, and also maybe somehow or another be merciful to them in the sense where you give them maybe some prasadam or some book they could read, somehow or another they come in contact with Krishna, whether it's you or something, and they have an appreciation, then they'll start to advance. So that's the beauty of the Krishna consciousness movement. It's here, it's an incarnation of Krishna to actually liberate people from their ignorance, because they think it's all about them and their suffering and their problems and their goals and their this and that, but it's not. Actually, the real solution is just to become focused on Krishna. And once we do that, then everything happens. Just like watering the root of a tree. If you water the root of a tree, then everything blossoms. So if we just become focused and try to understand Krishna, who we've forgotten, then we'll become very happy and blissful. Yes. So your happiness and your blissfulness will be that contagious thing. They wonder, why are you so happy? Why are you so blissful? And they may inquire from you. And then it's your opportunity to help them. Okay, is that it? All right, thank you for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Sri Krishna Janmashtami. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.